Gargoyles by Ben Hecht. Chapter 1. The calendars said 1900. It was growing warm. George Cornelius Basine emerged from Madame Minnie's house of ill fame at 5 o'clock on a Sabbath May morning. He was 25 years old, neatly dressed, a bit unshaven, and whistling valiantly, "Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?" Considering the high estate which was to be his, as the estimable Senator Basine, the introduction savors of malice. But it must be remembered, this was 22 years ago, and moreover in a day before the forces of decency had triumphed. The soul of man was still unregenerate. Prostitutes, saloons, hell-holes still flourished unchallenged in the city's heart, and Basine, even at 25, was not one of those aggravating anomalies who pride themselves upon being ahead of their time, or behind their time. Basine was of his time. And on this day, which witnessed him whistling on the doorstep of Madame Minnie's, the devil was still a gentleman, albeit a gentleman in bad standing. But, being a gentleman, he was tolerated. Tradition, in a manner, still clothed him in the guise of a Rabelaisian clown, high-born but fallen. He walked abroad in his true character, flaunting his red tights, his cloven hoof, his spiked tail, and his mysterious horns. A mid-Victorian devil innocent of further disguise, his face still undisfigured by the Kaiser's mustachio or the Bolshevist's whiskers. A naive, unctuous lout of a devil with straightforward tempter's proclivities. An antagonist not for Dr. Wilson's and Monsieur Clemenceau's and the societies for the spread of true Americanization, but an unpolitical, highly orthodox, leering, pitchfork-brandishing vis-a-vis for simple men of God. In short, the devil was still a devil and not a complex. It was growing warm, and the calendars said, a new century. A new century. And the great men of the day pointed with stern, pregnant fingers at the calendars and proclaimed, a new century. A new century. Beautiful phrase. The soul of man, in its struggle toward God knows what, paused elatedly to contemplate the new milestone. Elated as all youth is elated for no other reason than that there is a tomorrow, a tomorrow of unknown and multiple milestones. Elated with the knowledge of progress, that sage and flattering word by which the soul of man explains the baffling phenomenon of its survival. The great men of the day stood staring through half-closed eyes at the calendars. To anticipate by a single day. But the future, no less than the past, remains a current mystery. And the great men, the prophets, confined themselves with stentorian caution to the prophecy. A new century has dawned. Basine, whistling and waiting for his companion to emerge on Madame Minnie's doorstep, regarded the scene about him with the hardened moral indifference of youth. It was growing warm. The May sun was striding, an incongruous provincial virgin, through a litter of blowsy streets. Under its mocking light, the rows of bawdy houses and saloons suffered an architectural collapse. Walls, windows, roofs, and chimneys leered tiredly at each other. The district seemed indeed an illustration for a parable of vice and virtue drawn by the venomously partial pen of some unusually half-witted cleric, dirty-faced brothels, tousled cafe signs, bleary sidewalks, toothless storefronts, all cowering before the rebuke of God's Son. A few mysterious solitaries lent a vague life to the scene. The figure of a drunk, unchastened, zigzagging humorously down the